Well, it's great to see all of you here this evening. Once again, we're in the book of Ephesians, and this evening, this is the 25th sermon out of the book of Ephesians, and we are in chapter 4. Tonight's title is Out of Many One, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7, through 16, as we read together about our spiritual gifts and the diversity of those in the church. Notice in verse 7, it says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." And then in verse 17, and that is verse 17 there, you will know that on some of the coins as well as on or some of the currency, on some of the great seals of the United States are the word E pluribus unum. And until 1956, E pluribus unum was the official unofficial motto of the United States. But in 1956, Eisenhower had put on that "In God We Trust." In God we trust. Now, I don't want to get into politics tonight, but I did hear something today that is disturbing to me, that in one of the political parties, as they were giving the pledge of the flag, they totally left out God. And God, they just went on, you know, indivisible with liberty and justice for all, and left that out. Well, you know, we live in a time today where God is being pushed out of everything. No wonder God's judgment is coming to this world one of these days. But that E pluribus unum is a Latin phrase which means out of many one, or one from many. And so that phrase that we find on some of our seals in the United States has to do with the United States, you and I know, is a country that would be a melting pot, because it's made up of many individuals from many different parts of this world who have immigrated to this country. Now, while there is diversity and division among the people that make up the United States of America, at the end of the day, when it's all said and when it's all done, we're all still Americans. Amen? Even though in Christianity, we may all differ in some points and some areas, still nonetheless, if we believe the true essentials of what's important in Scripture, we are all Christians at the end of the day. So regardless of the country, of our origin, the color of our skin, the type of politics we embrace, or where we stand on some of the social issues in life, we are still one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It will always be that way for me. They may try to push all of that out, but I want you to know the United States is a unity made possible by and in the spirit of great diversity that we have in our world today. So out of many one, that phrase, out of many one, could also be applied to the church. You see, Paul had just told us that we are one in the Lord, that we stand together because we have one Lord. We have one body. We have one faith. We have one baptism. We're indwelled by one Spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit. We share the same hope, and that hope is the living hope of Christ. We serve the same Lord. We believe the same faith. We have experienced the same baptism, and we're all children of the Heavenly Father. When we looked at verses 4 through 6, we see that we are made one through our relationship to the members of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, the same Holy Spirit that lives in me lives in you if we know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. The same Lord who died for me, died for you. The same God that has saved us and brought us into His family is we are one in Him. We sing that song, we are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. We've joined our hearts with the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love. Now, as the first word of verse 7 points out, we may be one, but we're still many. That word but there in verse 7, but that little conjunction there, it literally means in spite of that or on the other hand. So the idea is that while we are united in Jesus, we are still expected to be different, unique people. We're expected to be individuals for the glory of God. We may be commanded to do everything in our power to maintain the unity of the body of Christ, as verse 2 and 3, but at the same time, we are to celebrate our diversities, which makes this unity possible. So against that backdrop of our unity in Christ, this evening I want to draw attention to our diversity. We are all different from each other. We're all unique, yet it's our differences that make unity within the body of Christ that brings this glory to the Lord. In fact, it's our diversity that actually makes this unity possible. And so what I want to share are some truths that present themselves in this text that Paul writes to the Ephesians. As I preach on the thought, out of many one, I want us to see that while we are apart of the body of Christ, we have been uniquely gifted to serve the Lord. We're members of the body, but every member has a different gifting, a different grace gift or gifts that God has uniquely blessed us with so that we can do our best in sharing to the world what the body of Christ is all about. And each one of us are uniquely different. Just as each one of us have a different fingerprint tonight, God has gifted every child of God with at least one gift or gifts in order to build up the body of Christ. In verses 7 through 11, the first thing that I want to point out tonight is the root of this diversity. We're really uniquely equipped, and we're uniquely equipped for His service by these grace gifts. So our unity as a body finds its root in the work of God in our lives. As He develops us, as He grows us, He continually reveals Himself within us. Now, as He does that, He allows us to stand as one in the bond of love in the Lord. Now, but it's also the Lord's work that magnifies our differences. I want you to think with me tonight. Ask yourself the question, what am I best at? What is the gift that God has given me that I am best at doing? And am I using that gift? Am I building upon that gift? Am I exercising that gift to the very possible potential that God wants me to use. For you see tonight, if all of us were just ears, then who would do the sing? Or if all of us were just eyes, who would do the hearing? I mentioned the other day, if you cut off your big toe, it would be hard to have balance. You see, even though you may feel that my gifting is insignificant, that my gifting is really, and I hear people say all the time, I don't even know what my gift is. Well, you know, if you don't know what your gift is, you hadn't been spending time with Jesus. Amen? If you don't know what your gift is, let me tell you, what do you do the very best? What is it that God has given you that is unique to you and to you only? You see, that's what I want us to look at tonight. Just as surely as our unity in the body of Christ has its roots in Christ, so does this diversity of our gifts. So, in verse 7, let's speak about the grace of God. Now, our diversity finds its roots in the grace of God. That word grace, it's a very common word used in the New Testament. It reserves to unmerited favor, or it refers to a gift. Now, we often think of God's grace in the context of salvation because it is by grace through faith that we are saved. But when the Bible says that unto every one of us is given grace, there in our text, according to the measure of Christ, that simply means that Christ is the head of the church and that he's given each one of us some gift or gifts of his grace. And these gifts enable you and me to do the ministry that we do. These spiritual gifts determine our place in the body of Christ and how we will ultimately serve the Lord. I think one of the saddest things to me when I think about standing before the Lord Jesus one of these days. You know, I was thinking just today as I was reading a lot on Bible prophecy and I was listening to various commentary on Bible prophecy, and I thought to myself, if you and I really knew, if we really knew how close the rapture would be, would it change the way we serve the Lord? Would it change the way we use our gifting for the glory of God? Now, I don't know about you. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm going to heaven one of these days. But I don't mind to tell you, there's just a little bit of fear and trepidation in my heart when I realize that I have to stand before him individually and to give an accounting of my life since the day of March the 24th, 1963, when I reached out through faith and received God's wonderful gift of grace. You see, the longer Neva Newman used to sing a song, I used to love to hear Neva sing this because she did it with such passion. She would sing, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. And you know, that ought to be the mantra of every Christian, of every child of God. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. But I don't mind to tell you, oftentimes I awaken in the middle of the night. Just as today, I was reminded by listening to a lot of prophetic things about the future and where we're going and all of these things that are taking place in the world right now. And I thought, you know, to stand in the presence of holiness, to stand in the presence of righteousness, and to give an accounting of my life, did I do the very best that I could for Jesus? You see, we sing that old hymn, I'm satisfied with Jesus. But the question comes to me when I think of Calvary, is the Master satisfied with me? You know, we've talked in the book of Ephesians about balancing the scales. Christ being on one side of everything that he did at Calvary when he gave his all for us. When he took sin upon himself who knew no sin. And then we look at how so off balance that is. That the other side of the scale, according to Ephesians, we're supposed to balance that out. How on earth can we do that? By putting him first and foremost in every avenue of life. Everything that we do. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about standing before Christ one of these days, see, I don't have to give an account for Hester. I don't have to give an account for Julia. I don't have to give an account for Mary. I just have to stand individually and give an account for myself. So I ask myself every day when I awaken to a new day and thank the Lord for the breath that he's given me, Lord, what would you have me do today? Now, with 1,497 members of this church, I'm one person. And that's why God has given grace gifts to all of those who know the Lord, is because it takes all of us to be a part of the body of Christ and to reach out to those out there that need whatever we can do to help them that would glorify the Christ Jesus in our hearts, in our lives. And these spiritual gifts, they determine our place in the body of Christ and how we will ultimately serve the Lord. We used to sing, serve the Lord with gladness, enter his courts with praise. When you serve the Lord, do you serve him with gladness? When you give, do you give with a cheerful heart? The Bible says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. You see, one of these days when you and I stand in the presence of the Lord, whatever talents, whatever gifts you've been given, he expects much from each one of us because he gave his all. When the Lord saved you, when he gifted you with the gifts, he wanted you to share it with other believers. But the way that the Lord uses you and me to exercise those gifts, they are unique to each one of us. That is, for example, you may preach, but your preaching will be your unique personality. You may teach, but your emphasis may be being a teacher in the preschool department or in the children's department or in the youth department or in the adult department. Somewhere, if you have that gifting, whatever gift you have, it needs to be used and it needs to be developed to the greatest potential for the Lord. So our differences, which are our diversities, where are they rooted? They are rooted in the grace of God because he's the one that gives us these grace gifts. Now we're saved. We're all saved the same way and we're all indwelled with the same Holy Spirit. But we are uniquely equipped for his service by these grace gifts. Now, I'll use Ricky Sanders, for example, back there. Ricky, excuse me, and please allow me to use you as an example. Rick does a great job as a deacon of this church. I know many people on his deacon list that have said to me repeatedly, he is such a great guy. He has helped me. He has called me. He has visited me. And, you know, it's great when you hear that because you realize that person is exercising his giftedness that God gave him, a gift of helps out there. The same is true with Danny and James and you know, I could go all the way through our deacon body list. But you see, whatever your gift is, it needs to be developed. It needs to be used to God's greatest glory and to the greatest potential. In verses 7 through 10 there, Paul calls these gifts that we are given, he calls them the gift of Christ. Then he goes on to describe the Lord Jesus as a mighty conqueror who shares the spoils of victory with his people. These verses are quoted from Psalm 68 and they speak of the Lord as the one who ascended into heaven in victory after he defeated all of his foes. Now I want you to notice in verse 8, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to them. Now I personally believe this is a reference to when Christ died and the resurrection. When Jesus died, his body was buried, But I believe his spirit descended into paradise. What was paradise? Well, if you'll remember, in the Old Testament, there were two parts of this place. There was Hades and there was paradise. Paradise were for those that were saved before the cross and the resurrection. They were saved same way you and I are saved, through faith, by God's grace, looking to the cross. Abraham, Moses, Isaac, Jacob, David, all of those, they were saved looking to the cross. Now, that was paradise, but Hades was for the lost dead. Now, I believe that this verse here refers to the Lord's death and his resurrection. When Jesus was buried, then I believe here it means his spirit descended into paradise to proclaim to all of those who had been waiting on redemption since Adam that sin had been defeated and the way had been opened to God. And that seems to me what Peter is referring to when he says in 1 Peter 3:19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. So I believe this is a reference where Jesus descended into paradise. He shouted the same message that he proclaimed on Calvary when he said, it is finished, telestai, or tetelestai, whichever way you want to pronounce that, which means it is finished. And then he let those precious souls out of paradise and took them to the Father's house. Now, part of the Lord's victory over death, sin, and Satan is the gift of a new life in Christ. Now, we're literally made new creations when we are born again. And this new birth brings with it the ability to enjoy what John 10:10 refers to as living the abundant life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and to give you life more abundantly. It's what Paul refers to in Philippians chapter 3. Verses 9 through 10, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God, notice, by faith. And then he says, that I may know him. Do you know him? And the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. You see, the new life will manifest itself through the working of the Holy Spirit within us, and it enables you and me to serve the Lord through the gifts that he's given us. Now, whatever you have, whatever gift you have, it's been given to you by Christ. For example, Pat Merchant back there, Wendy, John, Barbara, I don't know who else in here works in the kitchen, Billy Don, but all of you, Sandy over there, let me tell you, y'all have a service ministry gift in the kitchen. How many people have you served willingly that those meals have gone out to so many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in the past 19 years? Those are service ministry gifts. Not everybody's a cook. Boy, you wouldn't want me in the kitchen. I have to ask somebody, can you put this utensil in the microwave? I don't know. I'd blow up my house, I guess. I mean, my microwave has only been used about 5 or 6 times in 11 years that I've been there. So, I mean, you know, I'm just not a cook. I can't even boil water. You know, I'm glad I can turn the spigot and brush my teeth. But I don't have the gift of cooking. That's not my thing. I don't have the gift of washing dishes. That's not my thing. But God has gifted me to teach and to preach and to minister to people and to shepherd the flock and to feed the sheep. Well, verse 11 tells us that our diversity is seen in the gifts that Paul mentions in verse 11. Now, we're just given a few gifts here, but in the book of 1 Corinthians 12, Romans chapter 12, 1 Peter chapter 4, there are some other gifts that are listed there. But notice the ones that are listed here, verse 11. Apostles. What were apostles? Jesus called those apostles, those 12. They were ambassadors. They were sent out with credentials to represent Christ. And those apostles were the pioneers of the faith 2,000 years ago. God sent them into the world. And then those that followed them to help birth the church. And he authenticated the ministry of those apostles with special signs and miracles that he allowed them to perform. And then notice it mentions prophets. These are a foreteller, the person that receives direct revelation from God. Think about all those Old Testament prophets that prophesied foretelling what was going to happen in this world. And then he mentions evangelists. That's a preacher of the gospel. And you know what an evangelist is. They go out evangelizing the world. This would also include missionaries out there in the world tonight. And then he speaks about pastors and teachers. And notice a pastor teacher is somebody that shepherds the flock that are faithfully, consistently opening the word of God to feed to the people of God. Now, I know a lot of people oftentimes ask me, Pastor, how come you never take any time off? Well, number one, I'm 10 times better doing what I'm called to do. You know, I mean, I could be out one day and I'm climbing the walls. That's just my personality. That's just who I am. I'd rather burn out than rust out. Amen. Well, secondly tonight, not only the root of our diversity, it's the grace gifts come from God, but look at the reason for these diversities, verses 12 and 14. So God saved you and me. He gifted us. He made us different from each other so that we could be the best we could be in the body of Christ. He made us diverse for his own reasons. And notice in verse 12 there, he says, for the equipping of the saints. That means God has placed various members in the body to help the body achieve its fullest potential for his glory. When you and I fill our place in God's kingdom, the Lord is glorified and the church becomes what Christ established his church to be. Verse 12 says, not only for that, but for the work of the ministry. He's speaking about serving there. Serving there. Many of you, Martha Mitro is a wonderful card writer and sender. Martha sends cards to many, many people. Darlene Sean is a card sender. And I know Paula sends cards, and Ruthie, and some from the prayer ministry. Let me tell you, those are all ministry-oriented gifts. Do you realize what it means? If you're confined in a nursing home, and especially during these days of pandemic, with all this social distancing, and nobody can go in except maybe one family member, or they have to talk to them through a window outside, Do you even know what it means to get a card from somebody in the church to encourage them, to lift them up, to get a phone call from somebody during this time? I know when Kim Watson's dad, Jim, was in the nursing home, and it was during the pandemic, and he and his mom, Sue, they couldn't go see him other than through a window. But you know how very difficult that is? For not only the person there that's confined in the nursing home, but those family members that are trying to make contact. I've had any number of people to say to me during these days of their loved ones being in various nursing facilities and with dementia onslaught and Alzheimer's, and they're saying, it's been so long since I've got to go, I don't think they'll know who I am now. Can you only imagine the grief that you have to deal with? The people that are on ventilators in hospitals, their families have not got to be with them. Can you only imagine, how do you ever put closure to their deaths when you could not be there with them during those days? And you just had to lean upon the medical professionals to be the best advocate they could for your loved one. Do you know what service ministry gifts mean to people? I did a funeral some years ago. One of the family members said to me, "Randy, I just want you to know, when we were cleaning out Mom's room in the nursing home, she had kept every birthday card that you ever sent her." Do you realize what that means? To me, it seems like such a minor thing. That's why I send out. We've got 1,497 members of this church. I personally write them myself. There may not be a lot written there, but it comes from my own hand. I write every one of those monthly, and I send those. And I learned a very valuable lesson when that family member, and I've done that now for 39 years of ministry, from Emmanuel to New Hope. I did that when I first started as minister to senior adults. I've kept that up all these years. But let me tell you, you never know what it means. What does it mean to you when somebody writes you a personal note or picks up the phone to encourage you? You see, all of us have been gifted by God. Notice in that verse, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Why did God gift us with gifts? To edify the body of Christ and to make the church function as Christ wanted his church to function. That's why it's so important that we take our gifting, our gifts, and we go out and we minister to people and we reach out to people and we do the very best that we can. Let me tell you, a healthy church is a church where its members are engaged in the greatest potential of their gifting. Maybe you sing. Maybe you sing and you're sitting in the congregation. You should be up here in the choir. I mean, those are gifts. There's all kinds of gifts and abilities and talents that God has given to each one of us. And then notice he speaks about knowledge. That means in verse 13, he speaks about knowledge there. That word means to fully discern, to fully discern. Paul said to the Philippians, "That I may know him." To know Christ, that I may know him. You know, I always think about Eddie Byford when I hear the song "Face to Face with Christ My Savior." Face to face to see and know. Face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loved me so. That was Eddie's favorite song. And I think about someday standing face to face with Christ My Savior. Will he say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'll make you rule over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." You see, to me, my goal is to please Jesus. My goal is to please him, because that's what you and I are to do. Notice he says in verse 13, "Unto a perfect man." Perfect means complete, mature, "unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." That refers to reaching a place of spiritual maturity. And this gives the church stability when we grow up in him and we're no longer like little kids tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I was listening to some speakers today who were sharing about in lots of churches all over the world how that it's become so seeker-friendly that we have forgot to teach the truths of the Scriptures, and that people flock to those gatherings. The root of our diversity is in the grace of God. The reasons for our diversity is to give Christ the greatest potential. And lastly, in verse 15 and 16, when we are each doing what we have been equipped to do, then certain results happen that develop the body of Christ. Our diversity makes his body possible, the church. Our diversity, our gifts, makes the body powerful, verse 16. Our diversity, our different gifts, makes the body productive. And this loving exercise that we have with these spiritual gifts, one for another, enables the church to make a difference, not only in our community, in our county, in our state, but in our world. Look at what John said in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. You see, and now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And if you and I love Christ as we ought to love him, we'll exercise, we'll develop to our greatest potential our gifts so that we can edify the body of Christ. Every one of us is different in many ways, but we're brought together, many in one, in Christ. God has called us, he's indwelled us, he's gifted us individually and uniquely. He puts us together in such a way that we can be a blessing in the body of Christ. Amen. God bless you. Would you stand as we pray together? Father, thank you for tonight. God, thank you for all that are listening to this live stream broadcast. Be with our church family. Keep them all safe, oh God, I pray. Return us back on Sunday morning, Father, with joy in our hearts to worship you corporately and collectively. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.